The first place we will turn today is John chapter 3 and verse 18. John chapter 3 and verse 18. We're going to begin today Journey of Faith. And as the title says this morning, the significance of faith for being lively. We're talking about being lively instead of dead or passive or inactive. The idea of our theme this year is that we are active. We are lively in serving the Lord. And we're going to be looking through Hebrews chapter 11. We'll get there this morning, the beginning of the chapter, and talk about the significance of faith for being lively. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us all the information you have in your word regarding this matter of faith. We must understand that faith is very, very important, not just for receiving Christ, but for living the Christian life. So help us to understand some concepts this morning, and then as we pursue the testimonies of those who had dynamic faith, may it impact us today that we can be more lively for you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. When it comes to receiving Jesus as your Savior, faith has no quantity to it. You either believe or you don't. As it says here in John chapter 3 and verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. So when a person comes to Christ, he believes in him. It's absolute faith or it's not anything. You believe or you don't believe. But when it comes to living the Christian life on a daily basis, faith comes in a variety of quantities. Luke chapter 12 and verse 28. Luke chapter 12 and verse 28. Jesus is giving a sermon on materialism, and he says this in Luke chapter 12, verse 28. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? He doesn't say they have no faith. They have a certain quantity of faith. It just happens to be small. And he emphasized this with the disciples on several occasions. And so over in Luke chapter 17 and verse 5, the disciples, at this point called apostles, because of the projection into the future they will become apostles, and Luke speaking at that time, reflecting backwards, says, the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Well, if our faith is small, can it get bigger? And so the disciples asked for their faith to be increased, which again indicates to us that for those who have absolute faith in Jesus, exercising ourselves in our daily living as believers, the faith we need for the circumstances of life comes in a variety of quantities. Consider one of the challenges faced by a man over in Mark chapter 9 and beginning in verse 17. Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long will I be with you now? In this case, he's addressing some people who don't have any faith at all, and he calls them faithless. There must be some in this crowd who are not believers. But then he continues, verse 20, they brought him unto him, that is the son that has this evil spirit, this devil. Straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, wallowed, foaming, and he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, and have compassion on us and help us, Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child made a most remarkable statement. It's this. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Well, now, how do you believe and have unbelief at the same time? On the one hand, we believe in Jesus. He is our Savior. We have no doubt about that at all. On the other hand, when we face intimidating challenges, we might find it difficult to believe that there is a reasonable solution to the circumstance. So, yes, Jesus, I believe in you, but I've been dealing with this for a long time, and I just don't see how it can be resolved. But I want to believe. I want to. So according to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Thus faith is trusting God not only for salvation, but faith is trusting God to get us through the challenges of life. And it is absolutely significant if we're going to be lively in Christ. Now, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, many of you recognize the address. I refer to it so many times. It's kind of a theme of my life. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We obtain faith by hearing the word of God. This is true regarding initial faith one needs in order to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. Thus, if people are going to believe in Jesus, they need to hear truths like John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. They need to hear verses like that, or what we refer to as the Romans Road, or those verses of Scripture that address the matter of what Jesus did for us, finishing the work of redemption, and we have this need to simply believe that. But I believe that this is also true, this principle, faith comes by hearing the word of God, for the kind of faith we need on a daily basis as Christians. Being passive regarding the word of God oftentimes is the reason that a lot of people fail to exercise the faith they need on a daily basis. But there's another reason. And that is, not only are they passive regarding the Word of God, but they spend too much time listening to alternative voices. There are a lot of voices in this world. Way back in the Middle Ages, when I was sort of like a youth pastor, there was a film I used to show to the young people. I don't know if it exists anymore or not, but it was entitled So Many Voices. And it would demonstrate to young people all the different voices in the world and caution them against listening to so many voices in this world. Because all of the world's voices can drown out the truth of the Word of God. And without the Word of God, you're going to find it difficult to believe. Thus, Peter tells us, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, that there are those who bring in damnable heresies, alternatives to the truth of the Word of God. In verse 2, he tells us the way of truth is evil spoken of. Do we hear that today? And in verse 3, he refers to feigned words. And then over in chapter 3 of that same letter, Peter refers to those who twist. He uses the word rest, W-R-E-S-T, but it means to rest. It means to twist the word of God, twist the scriptures unto their own destruction. God will never accept alternatives to his word. The alternatives to God's word will never produce a lively faith. I caution you regarding so-called Christian radio even these days. When I was a young man, I was one, believe it or not, you could turn the Christian radio on and listen all day. There were good preachers on consecutively throughout the day, but I'm not so sure that it's wise to listen to so many voices on even Christian radio today. Be careful what you listen to. Another thing that we need to be concerned about is that it is possible to hear but not get it. Go over to Mark chapter 4 and verse 12. Mark chapter 4 and verse 12. Jesus says, "They seeing may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand." Now, do you understand when we read Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 and it says, "Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God," that word hearing implies you understand. It's not merely hearing the sounds of the words falling upon your ears, but the hearing goes deeper than that into your consciousness so that you actually understand what you are hearing. And it is from that understanding that faith then is ignited in your heart. Well, here in Mark chapter 4, Jesus goes on to discuss what happens when people hear something but don't understand it. He says in verse 13, and this is the parable of the soils or the sower. He says in verse 13, "Know ye not this parable, and how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard," they heard the words, the sounds of the words fell upon their ears. "But when they heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." For some reason, they are susceptible to the influence of the devil himself. That means that even while someone is attempting to give them the word of God, they are not paying attention enough for those words to give comprehension. They're distracted enough by something around them that the devil can use to prevent that comprehension from taking place. In verse 16, he says, "These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word," once again, the sounds of the words fall upon their ears, "and immediately receive it with gladness. They listen to some preacher, and his presentation is interesting and entertaining even, but," verse 17 says, "have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." Something happens that intimidates them, causing them to be afraid to pursue what they have heard from the word of God. And the offense is not that their feelings are hurt, but that they have been frightened away from paying attention. And then verse 18, "These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word," again, the sounds of the words fall upon their ears. But in this case, verse 19, "the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." These people are so immersed in materialism that they are totally distracted and thus cannot comprehend the truth of the word. Only those who are able to drown out the voices of Satan and fear and material things can actually hear the word of God with understanding. And that's why in Mark 7 and verse 16, Jesus says, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." Well, here in verse 20, Mark chapter 4 and verse 20, he says, "These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it." The others didn't receive it, you see. They heard it, but they didn't receive it. There was no comprehension. And how do we know that these folks did receive it? Because they brought forth fruit. So Jesus rebukes his disciples for having little faith, resulting from their inability to understand something. Go over to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 8. Matthew chapter 16, verse 8, "When Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith," here they are again, their faith is of a very small quantity, "why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand?" See the connection between understanding and having a larger quantity of faith. They had small faith. They had some faith, but it was kind of small. It's small faith. Because there were things they didn't understand. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There has to be understanding from the Word of God for faith to exist and for faith to grow. Continuing here in Matthew chapter 6, we're in verse 8, he says, O ye of little faith. In verse 9, he says, Do ye not yet understand? Notice in verse 11, he says, How is it that ye do not understand? That I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So Jesus had talked to them about a concept. He used the word leaven as an illustration of the waywardness of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They heard the word leaven and they didn't understand what he was talking about, and they assumed he was talking about bread, which they forgot to bring. But once he explains it to them and they pay attention, what happens? Verse 12. Then understood they. What happens to a person when understanding takes place? Then their faith increases. And when your faith increases and becomes strong, faith then becomes the foundation for action. When I read in the Bible that I should do something, I might ask myself this question: Can I do it? This is where faith kicks in. I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in me, and I believe by the power of Christ who lives in me and strengthens me so that I can do all things. Yes, if the Bible tells me to do something, then I can do it. We read the Bible, we understand it, our faith increases, and then faith becomes the basis of action. For example, Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, not slothful in business. Prior to this, I've had a typical worldly attitude on the job, showing up, doing just enough to be able to pick up my paycheck. And my excuse is, this is the way I am. Have you ever said that, this is the way I am, to explain yourself? Well, it's just the way I am. But then I read this verse of Scripture, not slothful in business, and I understand what he's saying. And I say to myself, can I do this? It's not the way I am. Ah. I will believe, and with my faith, I will act. I know this works because it happened in my life as a teenager. My boss was so impressed with the change that took place in my life. I was working in the IGA grocery store. And I guess I was just doing the bare minimum. And the scripture had a tremendous impact upon me as a teenager. And I didn't think so much about it. But my behavior on the job changed so much that within 3 weeks, my boss gave me 2 raises. And he said to me, "I've never done this before, but you have improved so much." Well, it wasn't me. It was the change that the Word of God made in my life. Similarly, when God's Word tells us to distribute to the necessity of the saints, my faith goes into action. And we respond by giving money or food or clothing to members of our local church or friends or neighbors who desperately need these things. When it tells me to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, my faith goes into action and I go to their homes and help them in any way I can. When it tells me to be ready to answer anyone who asks about our hope in Christ, my faith goes into action, and I am openly testifying of the salvation that I have in Jesus Christ. This is faith in action, or lively faith. Go over to James chapter 2 and verse 14. James chapter 2 and verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Have you ever grappled with this? And you know, some people want to tell us that this means that you have to have both faith and works for salvation. But this is not a salvation context. This is a Christian life context. Will there be action that follows your faith? If you have real faith, faith will turn into action. You will become lively. So that, in verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, "Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body," what doth it profit? If there is no action, you either have no faith at all or very little faith. For if you have real faith, it will turn into action. An empty faith always leaves an unsaved man in his lost condition, or an immature Christian slothful in business, or the fatherless and widows lonely, or the questions of seekers unanswered. By contrast, genuine belief always results in an appropriate action. Hebrews chapter 11, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. How did he do that? What does it say? By faith. By faith, Enoch walked with God. By faith, Noah prepared an ark. By faith, Abraham went out to a strange place. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. and others, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the enemies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a cruel trial of cruel mockings and scourges, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword. They were wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. All these people, their faith made them lively. Now understand the order of things. Where do we get faith? It has to come from the Word of God. Not simply for salvation, but for daily living. Every day of our lives, we need to consume the Word of God so that the Word of God, with understanding, can produce faith in our lives. And faith then becomes the basis of our action. All these people did what they did by faith. Those who had no faith and stayed home are not recorded in the Hall of Faith. In the coming weeks, we're going to be doing some studies about people whose faith caused them to be lively. We'll observe how faith moved people to diligently seek God in various ways and to act upon their faith. They sought God for blessing, for guidance, for help, for justice. They sought God with humility, with determination, with tenderness. And we're going to find in our study in the coming weeks that there are a lot of dynamics to the faith that turns into action on a daily basis in our Christian lives. Being passive about our faith should never be an option. We need to read, hear, consume the Word of God with understanding. That's all you need to do. Because the Word of God is what produces the faith. And once faith actually exists, it will become active. And so the key is, am I in the Word of God as much as I ought to be? Am I getting it? Do you want to be lively for Jesus? And let's become students of the Word. And I guarantee you, it'll change your life. And you will become active in ways you never thought possible. Because faith is always followed by action. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this challenge to our hearts this day. I pray that you will give us all ears to hear with understanding, that we will love your word, that we will consume it upon a daily basis, that we will see your word increasing our faith little by little, but every day, so that when we face challenges, when we are confronted with responsibilities, when we find opportunities set right before us, our faith will be strong enough to move us to do whatever needs to be done. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.